Matthew chapter 22, and the young people can be dismissed to junior church at this time. I want to take you back to where we were last week, and as I said last week, this is kind of a two-part message, a topical type message, to kind of get us started off on the right foot here in the new year. I trust that you've seen God at work in your life over the last couple of weeks here, week and a half at least, into the new year. But we're exploring this topic of spiritual productivity in the new year. And it's always important, I think helpful at least, for believers individually and the church corporately to consider how we are not really glorifying God in spiritual productivity. Jesus made it clear to his disciples just before his death that the glory of God in them was in some measure dependent upon the fruit that was being produced in their lives. John 15, verses 1 and 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5 and verse 8, I am the vine, ye are the branches, Jesus said. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And just as is true in nature, spiritual fruit is produced when seeds are planted in the right places under the right conditions. And so this morning, we'll consider part two of what we looked at last week, the elements of the Christian life that I compared to seeds that are sown in order to produce spiritual fruit. We considered last week the first of two fields in which you and I are to be sowing seeds, spiritually speaking. Last week, we looked at the field of your relationship with God. This week, we'll look at the field of your relationship with others. And we get those two fields, those two places in which you and I will sow spiritual seed, from Matthew 22 here, verses 35 through 40. Let me get in the right place here because I am not on the right page. All right, here we are, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus said all that glorifies God is summed up in the wholehearted pursuit of, number one, a love for God, and number two, a love for others. And that first love for God, obviously, is the great commandment. It's number one. So these two fields that we sow into spiritually are the field of your relationship with God. We looked at that last week. We saw the seeds that we sow in that field. This week, we'll look at that second field that we sow spiritual seed into, and that's your relationships with other people. Jesus said in verse 39, the second great commandment is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So on that foundation, we build what we'll look at this morning. But let's pause and ask for God's grace. Our Father in heaven, we want to leave here today not simply as hearers of the word, but doers also. Let us not be like one who looks into the mirror and immediately upon leaving forgets what he saw. Help us, Lord, to take heed spiritually to what the mirror of your perfect word shows us in our own hearts and lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would by your grace, with a heart of love for you, take steps, Lord, to begin the process of change, or to continue the process of change that you are trying to work and accomplish in our lives. Lord, as we look at the seeds that are to be sown spiritually in our relationships with others, I pray that we would take note of the ways in which your Spirit impresses upon our heart the need that we have, and that we would allow you to change us, to remake and to mold us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll begin this morning with the seed of love, because that's where we began last week when we talked about your relationship with God. We talked about that foundation of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The second great commandment includes that same thought, that same principle, that principle of love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So just as in the relationship with one's heavenly Father, love is the basis for relationships among individuals as well. And as such, it has to be seen as a seed that is to be sown, or a value that is to be cultivated in our relationships. Really, without love, human relationships are spiritually unproductive. Paul intimated that in 1 Corinthians 13 when he talked about love. In the King James Version, that word is charity. And he said, you can have, and if I can just paraphrase what Paul said there, you can have all of the spiritual gifts, but if you're exercising them without the foundation of God's love in your heart, then you're wasting your breath and you're wasting your time. There is no spiritual benefit. So love is important. It's a seed to be sown in your relationships with other people. Without love, your relationships are spiritually unproductive. In Christ's words here in Matthew 22, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, echo the Levitical law. Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Jesus applied this law in Matthew 7, verse 12, when he said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It sums it up, just like he said here in Matthew 22 and verse 39. Love your neighbor as yourself. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. That's love. Now, everybody naturally loves themselves, but loving others requires an active obedience and an active dependence upon God's enablement. Some people, we might find it easy to love, but that's not true with every relationship that we have, is it? So there has to be, if love, for the basis of our relationships with others is a commandment of God, then there has to be an active dependence upon God's enablement. John states this matter of loving others in clear terms. 1 John 3, verse 11, verse 14, verse 18. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4, 7, 11, 12, and 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so we start with that seed of love that is to be sown in the field of our relationships with others. Every relationship needs the love of Christ through you. The second seed that I'd like to consider this morning is that of sacrifice. Now this, again, was part of our consideration last week when we talked about your relationship with God. We talked about how we have to be sowing seeds of sacrifice in that relationship. And I want you to see it the same way in our relationships with others. There is, number one, the outflow of sacrifice. The outflow of sacrifice. We saw the clarity with which Jesus taught that sacrifice is necessary for a love relationship with Him. It's critical also in your relationships with others. It fits hand in hand with loving your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself without making sacrifice for them. The truth is, you can sacrifice without love, but you can't love without sacrifice. Love, by its very nature, requires sacrifice. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. In other words, this is how we know what kind of love God has shown toward us. He says, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See that? Love and sacrifice go hand in hand. John 15, verses 12 and 13, these are the words of Jesus. This is my commandment, He said, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, our sacrifice of love for others flows from God's sacrifice of love through Jesus to us. As I said, sometimes people are hard to love. Sometimes people are hard to sacrifice for. If you truly love as Jesus loved you, then you will sacrifice. We see the outflow of sacrifice. It's not something that you and I can conjure up within ourselves. It's based upon God's sacrifice for us. I want you to notice the outlook of sacrifice as well. Multiple times, Paul wrote about the sacrifice that believers are supposed to sow in their relationships for others. And in Philippians chapter 2, he presents it as a mindset that mirrors the mindset of Christ. God loved you, sacrificed His Son Jesus, so you, with that same mindset, must love others and sacrifice for them. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That means trying to get the glory for myself. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let me ask you a question. Can you obey that without sacrifice? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul is describing what God's kind of love is, what it looks like in a church. And he says, one mark of God's kind of love is that it seeks not her own. In other words, it's not looking out for itself, but it's sacrificing on behalf of others. Chapter 12 of Romans, in verse 10, he encourages the believers there to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, brotherly love in my house is not necessarily brotherly love according to Scripture. But one thing I've learned is that when I was growing up, I had four brothers, or five of us boys, and brotherly love in those years was not scriptural brotherly love, right? But now that we've matured and we have grown in our walk with Christ, there is true brotherly love among us. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. In honor, get this, preferring one another. In other words, sacrificing myself, my desires, my wants, my needs, in order for somebody else to have theirs. In honor, preferring one another. And that's the same outlook that Jesus described that would be true of those who follow him. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so this kind of sacrifice that you and I are to be sowing in our relationships with others should be natural for us to exhibit toward other believers. If we are followers of Christ and we have denied ourselves, or we are denying ourselves, we are taking up our cross and following him, then we're making sacrifice for him. It should be natural for us to exhibit that same kind of sacrifice toward others. So we see number one, love. Number two, sacrifice. I want you to consider, thirdly, the seed of compassion. Now, this is an important part of your spiritual productivity in the field of loving others. And it's really developed, this idea of compassion, this quality, is developed for us in the life and ministry of Christ. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He saw their spiritual need, right? They were sheep, scattered, having no shepherd. So we see the compassion of Christ in his life and ministry, but it's also developed for us in the instructions that are found in the New Testament letters. Peter, Paul, John, they all speak of compassion as they write to believers. 1 John 3:17, John describes compassion as a function of the love of God in the believer. He says, whoso has this world's good, in other words, whoever has the provisions of the world, just talking about material possessions, neither good nor bad, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That was the old English way of describing what Paul was talking about here. The word bowels had the idea, the sense of the innermost feelings of a person. And so Paul says, look, if the love of God is dwelling in you, then you, having means to help somebody in need, will do so because you have compassion through the love of Christ. Paul describes compassion also as a foundation of unity within the body of Christ. Excuse me, Peter, 1 Peter 3:8. He says, finally, brethren, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So compassion unifies us when we look upon one another with a heart of compassion. We become unified in our hearts within the body of Christ. Paul describes compassion as a trait of those who've been chosen to a life of holiness, Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That word mercies there is the same word translated compassion. Deep-seated, heartfelt feeling of compassion. Put it on, Paul says. Of course, that only comes through the grace of Christ, the proper mindset of humility, lowliness of mind that Paul spoke of earlier. Compassion in you will provide the motivation to exercise yourself toward the good of others in their lives. It's hard to love your neighbor as yourself without the compassion of Christ. You are one of the tools that God has chosen to use in the lives of others, and your attitude toward others is important to your usability. Compassion. Are you sowing that seed in your relationship with others? I want to talk next about forgiveness. The seed of forgiveness. Truth is, nothing will kill personal relationships like an unforgiving spirit. If you want to love your neighbors yourself, then you have to cultivate a heart of forgiveness. And Jesus highlighted the importance of forgiveness in Matthew 6:14 when he said, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so should you refuse to forgive another individual, you are sinning against God, and you can only receive the benefit of God's forgiveness when you forgive. Is that important? The weed that chokes out the seed of forgiveness is nothing more than pride. Because in pride, you think you have the right to hold a grudge. In pride, you think you have the right to resent someone. In pride, you think that you have the right to refuse to forgive. But the truth is, Christ subjected himself to the worst kind of mistreatment in order to provide you forgiveness that you need for your bitterness and resentment. Do you understand the irony of you and I holding on to bitterness and resentment against somebody as sin in our lives, while Jesus died in the face of bitterness and resentment of those who hated him to forgive us for the resentment and the bitterness that we have against others? Paul ties your responsibility to forgive others to Christ's forgiveness of you. Ephesians 4:31-32. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Colossians 3:13. You see, when forgiveness and the power of Christ is applied in your relationships, there is great opportunity for spiritual growth, both in your life and the lives of those that you forgive. Folks, if you are going to be spiritually productive in the new year, then you must cultivate a heart of forgiveness. You must allow the grace of Christ to reign and to rule in those relationships where something's gone wrong, where something's not right, and you have been hurt, you've been offended, you've been wronged or sinned against in some way. Sow the seed of forgiveness. The last thought this morning, as we've considered the seed of love, the seed of sacrifice and of compassion, of forgiveness, I want you to consider, lastly, the seed of gospel witness. This is another critical part of loving your neighbor as yourself. And this, of course, is oriented toward those neighbors, those people, those individuals that you rub shoulders with who are yet in their sin, who are without Christ. If you'll truly love your neighbor as yourself, then you'll share the gospel of Christ with them. Every believer is a God-ordained messenger of the life-saving message of eternal life through Christ. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." And that same Holy Spirit power that Christ's disciples received to make them witnesses is the same power that you have to communicate the gospel to those that Christ has placed in your sphere of influence. Acts 1:8, Jesus said to them, "Ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. You are witnesses unto him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a... Can I swap the word preacher out for believer? Because in this context, there's no difference. Okay? The preacher here is not the person behind the pulpit. The preacher here is every believer who has a mouth, a voice to proclaim the gospel of Christ to those who need to hear it. How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and that bring glad tidings of good things. Are you proclaiming the gospel of peace? Are you taking the opportunities that God has provided you to tell people about the good news of salvation through Christ? And if in your mind you're thinking, what opportunities are you talking about? It's just a matter of you seeking God's face, allowing him to show you the opportunities. I listened to a podcast interview of Lee Strobel. He is a popular Christian author, apologist, and he was a die-hard atheist, a skeptic, wanted nothing to do with Christianity. This was years ago, I think in the early 80s. He was a legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. And he came to Christ. His life was transformed, and God has used him to spread the gospel across the world. As I was listening to the interview, the host was asking him how he came to faith in Christ, and I was struck by how God worked in his situation. It was very simple. He and his wife lived in Chicago, his wife was not as strong as he was against Christianity. She was more of an agnostic, you know, maybe God exists, maybe he doesn't. But they had a neighbor, a woman who believed in Jesus. She was a Christian. And she struck up a friendship with Lee Strobel's wife, witnessed to her, shared Christ with her, and she got saved. And she came home and said, you know, I have some news for you. I become a Christian. And oh boy, that threw him for a tailspin. And as he thought about it, he thought, well, look, this will be easy, okay? I'll apply my skills as a legal editor and as a journalist. I'll poke so many holes in this Christianity thing that she'll just forget all about it. He figures, okay, you know, a long weekend, I'll be able to do that, and then we'll just forget about this whole Christian thing. For a year and 9 months, he studied the proofs of Christ. And eventually he came to faith in Christ. And he was born again. And God gloriously changed his life. And he's become a great witness and a testimony, leading many souls to Christ through his writings and through his speaking and preaching. But as I listened to that story, I thought about that neighbor lady and how very simply God used her to witness to his wife. And God used his wife's conversion to cause him to start digging into the facts and the truths of who Jesus was. And God brought him to faith in Christ. Folks, you don't have to be anything more than a coworker, than a neighbor, than a relative, than a friend in order to impact people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be about your personality type. doesn't have to be about your skill in knowing the scriptures. It simply has to be about your understanding and your recognition and your acceptance that you are a witness of Jesus Christ and that you are to be sowing seeds of the good news of the gospel in people's lives. However you can, with whatever you know, it's enough because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And that same power is working on the lives in the hearts of those to which he is bringing you. But you must be willing to sow the seeds. And so I ask you in closing this morning, are you sowing these seeds in the fields of your relationships with others? Love, sacrifice, compassion, forgiveness, witness. Do you love your neighbor to the same degree that you love yourself? Are you too busy or are you too self-focused to invest yourself in your brothers and sisters in Christ or in the souls of lost people around you? Father, help us. I pray, dear God, that you would put in us a holy desire and a holy purpose to sow these spiritual seeds into the lives of those that we rub shoulders with. Lord, I pray that you would grip our hearts for the calling that you've placed upon us to love our neighbors as ourselves. I pray that we would grow deeply in the love of Christ, so much so that it would overflow into the lives of others. I pray, dear God, that we would first love you with all of our heart and soul and mind, that we might love our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, I pray that we would be willing, Lord, to, by your grace, make any change, any adjustment in our lives, in our thinking, or that it would truly lead us to love others as you've loved us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed, and as a verse of invitation is played, I invite you to spend a moment in prayer with the Lord and ask him to grip your heart with the needs of the lives around you, saved and unsaved, and commit yourself to reaching out and developing, cultivating those relationships. You can't be everything to everybody, but you can be something to somebody. God will use you in that way if you're willing and if you rely upon his grace.